Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trust me, he's not familiar with that. That is not something he's familiar with in any way. That I can tell you. We've kind of lost out on that, I can tell you. Maybe in honor,
I throw it around every once in a while.
Maybe in honor of the president coming back, we have to work back in with that, I can tell you. The president's gather day. This is Adam Carter, Chad Hartman, Dave Herrigan, Newstalk 830 WCCO. President's gather today to honor James Earl Carter. And rightfully so, it was powerful, it was moving. There were moments of laughter when the grandson is joking about, you know, here's his grandfather, this nuclear physicist, and he's calling him and he's trying to figure out how to work the camera on the phone. You know, it's just stuff like that. You had just great touches with, was it Stephen Ford and obviously Ted Mondale reading eulogies that Gerald Ford and Walter Mondale wrote. And Walter Mondale was excellent, as expected. I just was so struck, Adam, by the Gerald Ford one. Because I was reminded again that after they battle, let's be honest, Ford wins if he doesn't pardon Nixon. Ford wins if the country isn't repelled by Nixon when Gerald Ford was nothing, nothing like Richard Nixon, right? And not a single thing. But how Ford, after he gets beat, says, If you want to come here and have a side office at the White House getting ready, sure. And how on this flight for a funeral to honor the death of Sadat, how they developed this relationship and how they became close. Oh, there goes the backpack. What do you got in there?
Anything? Computer.
Computer? Ugh. Do you want to look and see if it's over
for the
computer?
Fine. It's fine.
It's going. And it was a reminder to me of a topic I've brought up before. We probably talked about it too. I don't think the present president, no matter who it might be, uses the former presidents enough. I really don't. And I get, you know, we're just, whatever you think, we're hyper-political, wait another day, because apparently we'll get even more hyper-political. But today, as the seating chart worked, the former and future First Lady was on the far side. The former and future president was next. And then Barack Obama was next. And I know that I was clicking and there was some byplays. Is this appropriate for them to be talking at a funeral? Okay.
What?
Yes. And
well, it was before it started, though, wasn't it?
It was, exactly. It wasn't
You're
like
supposed
the
to stay quiet.
It wasn't like the, you know, the eulogy was taking place. And
yucking it up.
They're yucking it up about golf, right?
Playing YouTube videos.
And then I also, as I told you off air, it also bugged me too that a lot of conservatives are like, oh, look, he's not the devil. He's not Hitler. You're still allowed to, by the way, disagree massively with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Disagree massively with Donald Trump, but then say, look at this. neither one cares for each other. That's very clear. But they're rising above it because they're next to each other. They're at a funeral and they're talking and it seems pleasant. Mm-hmm. It seems friendly. It seems engaging. Now, I didn't have the earpiece.
No.
You know, but it seemed, I watched that and I went, good.
Yeah, 100%.
I watched it and I went, great. And I thought that and I said, you know, the Donald Trump of the 80s and 90s and aughts, I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was in on the bit.
Yep.
Was he a blowhard? Sure, but he was kind of a likable blowhard.
Funny you mention that. I just saw a couple of old Saturday Night Live bits that he was in that were pretty funny.
They were funny. When he would go on Dave,
yes,
and let Dave make fun of him. He was the butt of the joke the entire Is anybody right now making Donald the butt of the joke? Now, he occasionally makes himself the butt of the joke. Not enough. But he still does it occasionally, but he kind of got it. And then, like, I think if he would have run for president in, you know, when it was rumored in the 90s or aughts, he would have been a totally different guy than this. But to his credit, he morphed, which he does all the time. He's a chameleon, and he found a route, and he pulled off the biggest political upset of all time and the biggest political comeback of all time. So, bravo. But I thought, why shouldn't Donald Trump, the next 4 years, not go to Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Joe Biden on policy positions, but on, okay, you've been here, I've been here. There's 45 of us who've been here because we got the two in-betweens and Trump be one. Can I just bounce something off you? Can I send you to pick a place, Syria, to try to mediate things? Like, I just think sometimes we have these, they're amazing people. They're the leaders of our country. And I think there's such a stubbornness and there's an arrogance. And sometimes there's a detest that they're unwilling to use the other person's expertise when only a few people can identify with that. So why shouldn't they? Again, it's not like, you know, they're going to just all be the best of pals. But a lot of it's the show business part. We know a lot of it. Why can't Trump call Obama and say, okay, when you would face a decision like this, I just want to hear what your process was. It's not like, oh, after our conversation, I'm going to make Obamacare even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But just rely on the intelligence and the expertise. When I say that, what do you think?
You can't. It's impossible to do that anymore because everything is political. And because it doesn't matter what the – I was just trying to think. Was it – so like George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, was that – or no,
H-W.
It was H.W. Was that Haiti?
Yes. And that's where they developed
their
great friendship.
Right.
Right?
But, I mean –
And now Bill Clinton and George W.
Yes.
are pretty good friends.
I'm trying to think of an issue that would be so benign where, yes, you could put like two former presidents or a former president of an opposite party to say, yeah, you're going to be the face of this or represent the country in this way, but not a thing exists. There's no topic anymore that is universally viewed by both parties that, okay, this is a safe space for both of us.
But, Dave, you know who could do this? Well, here's what I'm going to push back on. Donald Trump could. Donald Trump's in his final term. His followers love him. They're obsessed with him. If word came out that he and Obama were talking behind the scenes, they might not love it, but that I don't think their love of him would wane. They would say, see, he's shrewd. And if he sent Obama, let's say Obama can't be Iran because they have such difference. Just somewhere in the globe, something's going to happen the next year. And he thought Obama could be an ally. And it would carry the pedigree. And Trump would say, you know, it's a big bleeping deal when a president walks in. He goes, I know you're my Secretary of State, little Marco, but we're going to send Obama. Why can't we do that? Because I think Trump could be a guy who actually, especially in his final term, where he doesn't have to worry about, 2 years in, I'm going to primary Donald Trump. There's no primary in Donald Trump because he's so massively popular and he's, well, he is running again. You know, I'm on record saying there's a 60% chance he runs again. Are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that you believe that, but I don't believe it.
And you don't either. Right?
No.
Okay. We'll see. The heavy odds are you guys. But, okay, so what do you think? Because you heard Adam, you've heard me. What do you want to say on this?
I am not sure that Trump supporters, if Donald were to reach out to Barack Obama on name your issue, I'm not sure Trump's supporters would say, yeah, it's a great idea, Mr. Trump. Well done. I think they would not be in favor of that at all. I think.
Would they abandon him?
Fully abandon him? No, but I don't think they would be happy with it. I think we're probably at a point right now in our country where if something like that were to happen, if you were reaching out to a former president, particularly one of a different party, you'd probably have to do it in secret. You probably wouldn't want to make that public.
I'd rather be a little more visible, but what if it was just because we would find out later that W and Clinton, Bill Clinton, actually talked a decent amount. And we didn't learn that till later.
Yeah, I think the parties would be ticked off. I think the Republican Party, if they learned that Donald Trump was, you know, confiding in Barack Obama for all these decisions,
or
vice versa, I think the parties would say, knock it off.
It is embarrassing, and I don't even think it's like his, you know, average citizen supporters. It's the people who are, it's the Steve Bannons of the world.
Yeah.
It's the other people that, even before he gets to make that decision, make it so difficult to do it that he wouldn't do it.
And by the way, and I'll let you go on this. Again, I give Trump credit for talking to him today and being friendly. But Barack Obama gets more credit and has nothing to do with politics here. The other guy calls him Barack Hussein Obama all the time to infer that he's Muslim, believes in Islam. He's not a Christian. He's not a Catholic. He's not one of us. And for years lied about him being born in this country. So if you want to get back to me, oh, Obama's not. If you want to disagree with policies. But that's Obama being a normal human being and saying, I'm going to be cordial to the guy, friendly. Maybe even be amused. Maybe it's an important conversation. But Donald Trump, part of his rise to the presidency, was saying only, and I'll repeat this so nobody misses this, only because he was a black president that he wasn't born here. He's not saying that if he's a white president. Is there any chance in hell?
No.
Any chance?
No, I don't think so. And frankly, that kind of what annoyed me this morning when I saw them laughing.
I can see Obama supporters who would be more upset.
I was annoyed a little bit. I'm happy they're getting along. That's great. But I was annoyed thinking back. So is everything in the past 4 or 8 years between the two of you back and forth, is that all just performative?
Mm-hmm.
Is it all just, you know, BS to fool the public into, we really hate this guy when you don't? Are we just all being bamboozled?
Okay, let's pause on that. Do people think that? We'll let you go. Thank you very much. I want to preview some tomorrow. Any one of our regulars on tomorrow?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump on tomorrow. Very good.
Want to hear his side of the story.
Very nice. Very nice. Donald John Trump on tomorrow. What do you think when you see Trump and Obama? We're going to get to some of the other byplay, because some of the other byplay was pretty interesting, too. As a guy who makes fun of these body language experts, I'm going to turn myself into a body language expert next segment. Why not?
Also, Steve Sims was pointing out, you know, do they still do the bad lip reading segments? That'll be good for
you. Oh, that would be very, very good. Do you like it when you see the former presidents talking amongst themselves? Do you think Joe Biden has just a couple days left? It's now on to Donald Trump. Should Donald Trump W? By the way, the W's did not acknowledge him. Karen Pence did not acknowledge him. The Clintons did not acknowledge him. Barack Obama was the guy who acknowledged him.
Hard not to when you're sitting next to the man and he's...
What's that?
The Harris's...
Harris's.
Doug Berghoff.
Did not acknowledge it. But also, the Harris and Bidens didn't look like there was a lot of love there either. I got to be honest. Do you think it's performative and it kind of bugs you because you think they're being disingenuous when they're doing this today? It's 22 past 12 here on CCO. We're going to talk about the L.A. fires a couple times. I'm sure you're not surprised. Jamie Yuccas is going to be with us at 107. And we're going to talk about the instant finger pointing at 1235. Among the texts, I think Obama's too respectful to chance any kind of scene at Jimmy Carter's funeral, so it would be civil regardless. But I think that Trump could bring that. Trump and norms, Dave, he really doesn't care. He's gonna do whatever he feels like, but not for 1 second did I think Donald Trump was going to cause a scene at Jimmy Carter's funeral today. Did you? God knows, well, we know behind the scenes he has because he was furious that the flags, which are half-staff, even though he said half-mast, or half-staff because Jimmy Carter passed away, and he's mad that they still will be for his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
He went way over the top when John McCain died and didn't want to make it a state funeral. That reporting has been out there. Called him a loser over and over again. but to the public, he wasn't going to do that, right?
No. No, I was never. I don't think pretty much anybody was worried about that. Even Donald Trump has a line.
Chad, did you notice that Michelle Obama and Dick Cheney were not at the funeral? How did Obama draw the short straw and have to sit next to Trump? I guess I don't know how that works. I normally think of the president comes in last, and he did,
mm-hmm.
Joe and Jill Biden. These happen so rarely. Obviously, the last time was H.W. Bush. I don't know what the protocol is for the president-elect, because the president-elect and the future lady-elect, they came in first. Maybe that's the way it should be, right? They should come in first, get that honor, and then the still president, first lady, they come in last. And it also made sense for Joe Biden to sit near the end because he spoke.
Yep.
So seemed like that was fair. They suggested Michelle Obama had a commitment in Hawaii. I guess that is possible. It better be an extraordinary commitment.
Yeah, it's got to be a good commitment.
If you're not showing up. And he has certainly said a lot of hateful things about her. Nowhere near as hateful as he said about her husband. But she's also entitled to say, I don't care for this guy at all. For me personally, I think she should rise above it and show up at Jimmy Carter's funeral.
I just wanted to see the Michelle and W show.
Yeah.
She could have hopped up a row and just said, I'm going to sit next to you, George. Let's yuck it up a little bit.
And it was another great W likability moment when he finishes and he's coming back. He just taps Obama on the chest. Did you see that? Tapped him on the chest, belly. Again, I wasn't the biggest fan of many of W's decisions. I never doubted for 1 second. He appears to be a great person.
Oh, as they were just seated there waiting for all the proceedings to begin, waiting for Kamala and Joe to make their way in. W's leaning back, looking back, you know, yucking it up with Bill and, you know.
Yeah. If you told me I need to sit and have lunch or play golf with one of them, it's W.
Yes, he's the most normal human being there.
He is one. You know, I'm sure Obama would be engaging, but I still would rather play golf with W. And again, Trump, if there were no Secret Service there and I could say, Donnie, you want to play for a little money?
He'd toast you.
I would love.
Hey, how many times have you been club champion recently?
Not 29 times or whatever.
Jack Nicklaus present you with the club champion trophy? I don't think so.
Never once. Chad, couldn't you have left it at Trump and Obama having a decent interaction? You went negative against Trump. I told the truth about Donald Trump is what I did. I praised him. I talked about using Obama. I gave him credit. But what this Texas should say is that was disgusting that Donald Trump, because Barack Obama was black, made up this nonsense about his birth certificate. What this texter should add is all throughout the campaign, why did he say Barack Hussein Obama? He wasn't saying Joseph Robinette Biden, was he? Kamala, I have no idea what her middle name is. He wasn't saying that. He was saying Hussein for the Muslim boogeyman. So I just, I told the truth in all sorts of ways. I do have a similar thought. Obama does like to hang with famous people, that's for sure. Like Trump doesn't like to hang with famous people? You've got to be bleeping kidding me. First of all, he is a famous person. So is Obama, but Trump was a famous person way before Obama. And Trump loves it and brags about it, and it's fine, whatever. You know, that's his deal.
Yeah, that's okay.
Today, neither one was saying, let's go hang with famous people. It was a given. They were at Jimmy Carter's funeral. There was going to be a lot of famous people there. What a shock. More text. I don't think Trump dislikes anybody more than Obama, and Obama feels the same about Trump. No, there are plenty of people they dislike more than that person. Not even close, I don't think. Is there love between the two? No. I think Trump has more disdain for Biden than he does Obama. What do you think? You agree with me on that one?
Maybe. Only because Joe beat him. Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Regarding the president's interacting, won't happen, one word, ego. For all of them. By the way, that's not just Trump. For all of them, seemingly, you know.
Yeah, and then you'd have to deal with the ego of your staff. You know, your Secretary of State,
yeah,
the person you'd normally send out on a giant mission. Just sit back here for this one. We're going to send the former president, whoever that might be.
You know, among the things that bugged me about Obama's president is he tried to fly over D.C. You know, for a guy who was a senator and is clearly an engaging personality, all the reporting has been, including by folks who are sympathetic to Barack Obama, that he wouldn't meet with senators that much. He wouldn't meet with representatives. Like Trump, by far, would get on the phone. More often than not, his team, but still occasionally another team. To his credit. And Obama once, you know, Obama knew he was being criticized in that way for a long time. That's when he did the one joke. Would you want to have a beer with Mitch McConnell? No, it wouldn't be on my list, but you should talk to those people.
Kind of important.
You know? Biden, talk to those folks. Biden and Trump talk to senators and those in Congress way more than Obama, and Obama should get criticism for that. Trump needs expertise, former president, because he's the most unqualified president in U.S. history. Texters, I'm reading. I think it's hard to even imagine that someone go back to an ex-president and ask them advice. But other people have done it before. It used to happen often. Why can't it happen now? A number of texters also on our team. David Josephson suggesting pets are not members of our family.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it at all. They're not. My dog is not on the same level as my child.
No.
My children or my wife.
No.
But he is 100% a member of the family.
I will say this. And I'm not much of a prayer, but I'll say I pray Charlie lives 15 more years. He's 14. I will sob when Charlie passes away. I will. And I hope that never happens. And when Charlie climbed up the steps, as I told you off air, to get up to where my bedroom is, because he can't climb anymore. And when I heard him last night, I smiled about as wide as I can possibly smile, because that English Springer Spaniel loves the hell out of me.
That's wonderful.
And I love him. And I would walk through fire for Charlie. And I mean that on my life. So I love you, David. You're wrong. Pets are a part of our family. And we're lucky to have them. 35 past 12. Let's just finger point right away because there's a fire. Let's go. It is horrifying what is happening with five major fires taking place in Southern California. And we can have debates about what should be done, what should have been done before, what should be done while it's happening, and after. And I heard Adam talking about this, and Adam and I have talked about this together many times also. And Adam's point is fairly close to my point, too, on can we just, well, this part we're 100% agree. Do we still have the ability to come together ever, Dave? Because at some point, as we became more and more divisive, and some of that's on Trump, plenty of it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Plenty of it. Does he participate? Yes. Am I going to talk about his participation in the fire? Yes. But would a lot of this have happened without Donald Trump, Dave? Yes.
A lot of it was happening well before Donald Trump became part of the national political scene.
But what is different now? And I said it repeatedly since I started here. And COVID only reinforced it. If we had another 9/11, God forbid, the finger pointing would start as the plane was exiting one of the towers. I think it'd be that fast. We would move past the horror, the terror to fill in the blank. Let's say if Trump's president or Biden's president or your president, their fault, their fault, their fault, their fault. Now, did we find out some things about Bill Clinton missed opportunities with Osama bin Laden? Yeah, we did. Did we find out about Condi Rice and what they were saying in August and George Tenet? Yeah. But you know what we thought of on 9/11 and for the next few weeks? The people were killed. The people were burned alive. The people who jumped. I mean, it's hard to even say from 100 floors up. Because they decided they'd rather die hitting pavement than being burned alive. We thought of the family members and the friends who would show up outside the trade towers holding pictures of their loved ones saying, have you seen my husband? Have you seen my wife? And this fire has five dead. Okay. So I'm not equating it directly to 3,000 dead and to multiple wars starting. But it is a tragedy that we're watching. The country's paying close attention, and the video plays a part. Just does, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's far from over.
And it's, well, the report up there again recently, 0% containment.
Yeah.
And it's in a gorgeous part of our country. Does that alter if five people died somewhere else? No. It is not. But is it an area where people have seen on TV over and over and over again? Or like you, have traveled there. I mean, your text, you're talking about, maybe think of places that you guys went to Malibu when you've been doing these triathlons.
Reading reports last night of restaurants we've dined in, places we've gone to that have burned. And thinking that is, you know, there's a certain level of mourning there.
Yeah. Because I was so lucky to call Wolves games for 16 years. The Wolves, throughout most of that schedule, played the Lakers twice and the Clippers twice. Sometimes back-to-back. More often than not, we had four separate trips there. So let's take out a few. That's 55 work trips purely to L.A. just for the Wolves. For vacations and other business, I bet, honestly, another 25. I've been in L.A. 75, 80 times. It is such a gorgeous place. What I want to put up with the traffic, what I want to put up with all the logistics, it's daunting. But it's one of our signature parts of our country. And I don't want to hear about the politics right now of, oh, it's liberal this. We're talking about the beauty. Yeah. And the recognizability.
There's a reason that many millions of people put up with the traffic.
Yeah. Go out there and tell me it's not beautiful and we're just going to not agree. on the political discussion, Karen Bass going when she's received some warnings about what might happen? Head shaking. This is the mayor of L.A. And then before a press conference or her speech, when she was asked questions about should you have left? What took you so long? What about because $17 million was cut out of the budget, of the fire budget. And Dave, have you seen the video? She says nothing.
Yeah.
For close to 60 seconds, right? I don't remember seeing. And if you're the mayor of L.A., you're a big-time politician. A big-time politician, and it was not health-related, freezing that bad. Joe Biden has health issues. Mitch McConnell has health issues. Again, by the way, health issues. One was the president, one is still the president, and one was the Senate Majority Leader. What does that say? She had no idea what to say, which was stunning. And then we get to the president-elect. And he's been talking about it because some people told him this. And there are people who believe this, too. I'm not saying people don't, but a lot just scoff at this, that all we have to do is get a Swiffer, like the biggest Swiffer ever. And if we Swiffer up our forests all across the globe, we'll never have a significant fire again.
You get your rakes.
Yeah, rakes.
Rakes, Swiffers.
You got a Swiffer? I got a Swiffer. I really like this one.
I do not have an actual Swiffer.
Oh, you should get one.
I've got one with reusable pads. Same kind of thing, but you can wash the pads, so you don't got to buy the new pads.
Of course. You want to save some bucks.
I want to save the environment.
Yeah.
And some bucks. Microfiber. It's the way to go.
I can't believe you just gave me that. Are you automatic? Dave did that over-the-top sarcasm. Are you automatically a dork if you're still doing it? Because I think you are. When somebody goes like 651-461-9226 and they're going and they're pointing the finger at you.
I get to the finger gun.
The finger gun. What is your first thought?
Pro tip.
So the president-elect, who again believes raking, and I think he believes it would solve everything. And again, there's a I'm not saying they don't have he doesn't have people on his side. But here's his tweet. While L.A. is burning and people are coming home, and I just want everybody to think about this, whether you have a one-bedroom apartment, you have a starter house, you have a starter condo, you have the biggest mansion on the planet, and everything is gone. And for a lot of these people, you know what they don't have? Insurance. Because we have so many areas in our country now where the insurance agents are acting like, well, we're not going to be that compassionate, but we're going to be insurance people, and we're too worried what's going to happen. With good luck to you in South Florida.
Yeah.
Right? And good luck to you even further now in the Southern California. So what I want to hear from the president-elect is, I am with you. I'm sure President Biden is supporting you. And anything I need to do that is still a part of it, and I'm sure it will be when I take over January 20th, Governor Newsom, you reach out to me right away. No, here's the tweet. Governor Gavin Newsom, while a part of his state, is melting down.
That's a good start.
You know, he's going with this cute nickname for him that he's always had. Refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily to many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burned. Then we find out there's no such document.
I'm shocked. Shocked that there was a certain level of untruth to that.
Even now, he's lying. There's no document. Then he goes to the smelt, the fish. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called a smelt. This has nothing to do with that part of California. It's the Bay Area, Northern California rivers. Okay? Has nothing to do with this. This is where when he was at Jimmy Carter's funeral, talking to Barack Obama, acting like a former president, president-elect. It's not that tough to do it. And by the way, it was also the giant pylon. Even though it turns out there's no document and the smell has nothing to do with this fire. If you want to have a conversation about Karen Bass locking up last night, I'm there. I started the segment with it. It was embarrassing. If we want to talk about other things that Newsom hasn't done, fair. Bass's budget cuts, fair. Because somebody earlier with Adam brought up, well, you know, you and Chad and others will bring up after a school shooting, bring that up. You know when we don't on this show, and Adam doesn't either? When it's an active shooting situation. You know what I take great pains to say over and over again? We don't know what happened this time. And until we know, I don't say that. I got a tip last time with one in Madison at 12:30 that it was a female. I was told off the record, you can't say this. And I really wanted to say it because it's kind of counter. And I kept hearing over and over and over again, people saying, click down our station, by the way. He. And I just had to eat it. Because when it's going on, you don't say it. Will I then opine a hell of a lot and get mad? Yeah. But while people are fleeing for their lives, I don't think the president-elect should be going with Gavin Newsom. Is that tough?
The nicknames and the jumping into lies right away, no, it's not too tough to avoid that. I don't mind starting the conversation early. We know how this country works.
Yeah.
Once the fire's out, you think 90% of the country is going to be engaged in the conversation about stopping the California fires or other issues yep. that could be solved with, you know, whether
it's a fair
water
point.
Situations.
Yeah. I don't think, I think though on school shootings when they're happening and we're inclined to feel like a gun has evolved, somewhere, I want to hear more about how the gun was acquired, whatever, before. But I'm willing to say then, can we just do something? Right?
Yeah.
Again, what is realistic? Because, and I'm way late here, I apologize. Part of what we're going to get to with Jamie is more fact-driven coming up. The facts are the winds were 80 to 90 miles an hour in a tinderbox. That's what happened. It's not smelt. It's not water restoration. And the fire hydrants weren't working because so many people needed water. Those are just facts. I really don't need to hear him licking in my ears. Not my ears, but in my ears.
Lapping it up. La, 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 la.
So one texter, very angry. Say he still really loves us, but
that's nice.
Angry, but mad at me. Facts. I said the last 30 seconds of what I said were facts. That's just the truth. Now this texter adds, yeah, you all keep hanging around in government's coattails. Are we hanging around in government's coattails? I never thought I was really hanging in government's coattails. I've never needed a police officer or a fire department in my life, and I'm pretty sure I ain't going to start now. And let's be real, government lies to you more than your own friends, and that is facts. Well, yeah, my friends are more honest to me than the government. Yeah, but, and I don't always agree with everybody in government. In fact, most of government I view skeptically, but you know what I like? I like the way police. You know what I like? I like the way fire. I like that we have people who participate in government. And by the way, if you live here, you actually do enjoy the benefits of police and fire and government. So those weren't facts. Susie next.